Welcome to a 20-episode miniseries at the Texas Robotics Summit, hosted by our friends at Granite Defense. We dive into the evolving world of drones and robotics in public safety aviation through 20 fantastic conversations with leaders across public safety from the fire service, law enforcement, EMS operations, wildlife management, and more. We explore the challenges, advancements, and the critical role of technology in enhancing emergency services operations. A special thanks to the sponsor of the Smart Firefighting Podcast, WS Darling Company, for making this podcast possible. Enjoy the show. Officially podcast number 6, sitting alongside the one and only Jason Burnside, the program manager of Austin Fire Department's Robotics Emergency Deployment Team, also known as the Red Team. How you doing, Jason?
I'm good. How are you?
Man, you know, luckily I'm wearing my UPF shirt and I got a lot of SPF on because we're kind of right in the sun, but you know what? No place else I'd rather be than Burnett, Texas, at the ranch here.
Man, it's awesome. It's good to be back.
So what went on yesterday? What's going on today? Tell us a little bit about what's going on in the show dynamics.
So, man, this is one of the biggest events that we have, especially here in Texas, for public safety robotics. And it's an amazing opportunity to get together with partners from across the state, across the country, to discuss techniques and explore new technology that's emerging, get a chance to interact with vendors and just, you know, get some actual practical flight experience and learn from a ton of really good instructors that are out here.
So earlier I said Robotics Emergency Deployment Team, the Red Team.
Yep.
What's the Red Team?
So we were created 10 years ago, and kind of our mission set was to explore emerging technologies and see how those could be integrated into public safety and the fire service. Our mission set has been and continues to be finding those technologies, use of drones, aquatic drones, and even just technologies as far as doing 3D mapping and modeling and digital twins of structures. We're exploring all that different technology.
So any land robots as well?
We had some several years ago that were donated to us, and we don't have any currently. We do have a couple of our pilots are pretty savvy in the kind of ground robotic section. They're into kind of like RC cars and things like that. And so they're exploring a homemade solution for sending ground robotics into a situation for hazmat identification and things along those lines.
Yeah, right on. And so obviously at the show, there's land, there's air, there's sea, but it does seem the aerial robots and the quadcopters and the fixed wing is kind of the strongest interest and the strongest passion. And there's some of the early adopters within the robotics realm using that. In your terms, I mean, what is an aerial drone and how and why does it bring value to the fire department? Why is it just like your eyes? It's like another tool in the tool shed for first responders.
You know, we are using quadcopters primarily. You know, it's something that is accessible, it's cost effective, and it gives us an eye in the sky. You know, all of our operational drones have thermal capability, and I feel like that's essential for any public safety entity. We're able to use these now to give us a 360 view of larger incidents, whereas before, all we have to go off of is just going to be radio traffic and just kind of describing what you see. And command now has a live video feed. And if they need to see something, you know, location of personnel for accountability, you know, taking a look at how an emergency incident is progressing and giving them real time data and information to give them the ability to, you know, execute proper tactics and mitigate a situation much more quickly and efficiently.
And within the context of how the Red Team operates and how you're creating data to that last word you said, more efficiently, I'd love to know what are some use cases or success stories of how Austin has effectively used drones to make first responders safer and to allow first responders to do their job more effectively?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we do when we are on scene is we're monitoring, you know, the effectiveness of our tactics when we're doing firefighting. Just the other day, we had a 4-alarm fire in South Austin that had 2 structures that were involved, heavily involved in fire. And we were using 5 or 6 aerial apparatus to do, you know, big flow water, basically kind of a surround and drown tactic. What we were doing was we were providing command the ability to see the effectiveness of those streams, whether they were making it to that structure and being effective. And that was a huge win for us because very quickly we would determine, you could see the aerial operators that were did not have our drone feeds. And command was even calling it out over the radio there. And we were going around very quickly, making sure that everybody had a live drone feed, all the drivers on the apparatus, so that they were effectively being able to see, you know, where the fire was located. And we were much more effective with our tactics.
And talk me through, again, it's not just a flying piece of plastic. There are these flying pieces of plastic, drones carry different cameras, different sensors, and that is creating data. And then that data is transmitted and then visualized in different capacities. Talk me through some of the payloads and then the data transmission and visualization.
Sure. Yeah. So we have currently most of our aircraft that are operational are equipped with, we have kind of a range of cameras. We've got a wide angle lens that gives us really good situational awareness when we're, you know, transiting through the airspace, making that safer. And then we have cameras capable of 200 times zoom. We were able to accurately see what was something that was happening, over 9 miles away the other day. We have thermal capabilities. So when we are looking for example, like a search and rescue at night in a wooded area, it helps us much more quickly identify where those victims are and get rescuers to their location, in a timely fashion, as well as we have a laser rangefinder that's good up to like 3/4 of a mile. And that gives us precise lat long locations. And so, I mean, this has been an invaluable tool. It's been a total game changer for how we do things. And I feel like it's given us a tool that allows us to be much more effective with how we, you know, deliver public safety to the citizens of Austin.
And then tell me more about, you mentioned you were able to see like who isn't using the drone feed, but like from the drone creating information to then getting that data to different drone to different first responders on the ground,
yeah,
whether it's in the truck, whether it's on foot, how are you leveraging different connectivity networks? How are you leveraging software to ultimately push that? And tell me about kind of like the user experience of that.
Yeah, so right now we are using a software called DroneSense, which is a third-party software that allows us to stream our feeds from multiple different drones, multiple different agencies. We can interoperate and partner together, and we can stream those feeds anywhere in the world, anybody that has that link. And so our command post, both on scene, and if we have an emergency operations center that is distant from the event, everyone is able to stream that feed, whether it's on a tablet, a phone, laptop, anything like that, and giving that, streaming that real-time actionable intelligence to all our partners on the ground. Whether you are a, you know, firefighter on the ground using that to make sure that your host stream is you know, hitting the appropriate target, all the way to command using that information for a, you know, large special event, making sure that, you know, we have the appropriate resources going to the correct location in the shortest amount of time.
So it seems like the drone, the red team, has been a force multiplier and has been overall a win so far within the Austin Fire Department. I don't know if you have like a 5-10 year roadmap or what's next for how you plan to continue to integrate robotics or even if there's other technologies too. What other kind of like technologies and plans do you have for the Austin FD?
Yeah, so I would say the 5-year plan for us is, you know, I want to change our deployment model. Currently, it is a all volunteer basis where we have people who are working on a fire truck full time, and they take on this additional skill and training and tactics and things like that. And so they have a special hat. And so that in our system, if we have a need for a drone pilot, they would go and respond as a resource. But ultimately, my hope is that I would like us to transition to having a full-time crew, that's all they do. They would be a kind of a squad model where you have, you know, a four-door, you know, F-350 driving around, and we have the entire gamut of our capabilities, whether it be a small indoor FPV drone, you know, your larger capable drones, ground robotics, aquatic equipment. Everything would be within this unit, and they would be highly specialized and focused on, you know, kind of eat, breathing, and sleeping this stuff.
That's awesome. And then, just kind of thinking about here at the show, I mean, it all kind of comes back to training and kind of getting hands, getting some stick time. But I'd love to hear about kind of what's Austin, what are you doing here at the show in terms of how this ties into the Red Team mission? And I'd love to hear too about kind of your thoughts on training and as a whole.
Yeah, so we're using this as an opportunity to get pilots that have been on the team for a while, as well as newer pilots, an opportunity to engage with just regional partners, see how other people are, you know, using drones, learn about, you know, different techniques, developing those partnerships, as well as just giving them, you know, some practical stick time. And, you know, this is a really unique and dynamic environment out here in Burnett, where, you know, we can practice a multitude of different things as far as search and rescue. You know, we have, you know, nighttime flying, all sorts of really interesting stuff in a safe but kind of demanding environment. So it's a challenge to all skill levels, which is great. And as far as just, you know, kind of my vision on training, I really don't think that you could be training enough. It is a perishable skill. It's something that if you are not have a dedication to, this is not something that you can just, you know, throw a drone up for 30 minutes, you know, every 6 months and consider yourself proficient. This is something that is a demanding skill set that, you know, I tell our pilots that we have 15 disciplines within public safety UAS. And that's everything from, you know, thermography, proper search and rescue techniques, you know, firefighting, assisting with, you know, the law enforcement missions, you know, all those kinds of things. So there's a lot that we are constantly doing in the Austin Fire Department on a monthly basis for continuing education. We have 30 minutes required minimum flight time every month. And we are constantly trying to get our people out together because we have three different shifts. And so a lot of people don't know everybody that's on the team. And so giving them these opportunities to get together, work together, as well as working with manned aviation and our other public safety partners that we work with all the time.
Totally agree with that sentiment on training. I love the phrase of no days off.
Yeah.
And it truly is a perishable skill. And I mean, you can think you know everything, but just as much as the technology is changing, policies are changing, you know, just the external environments and even different dynamics like lithium ion battery fires, new stuff is changing. So you got to be trained all the time.
Yeah. And being kind of having your finger on the pulse of emerging technologies and, you know, the problems that other people are experiencing, it really is beneficial to have a full-time person engaged in this field so that they can be the SME for that agency.
Yeah. So I kind of asked you about your 5-10-year plan, but rephrasing that question in a little different way of what excites you most about the current state of where we're at with robotics and technology and public safety, and where do you think some of the biggest rooms for kind of even better improvement of integrating technology into public safety lies?
I think, you know, we're in a very exciting time, and it's just one of those things that I've been a part of this team for 7 years now. I was assistant program manager for two and program manager for two. And just in that time frame, I mean, the way that technology has advanced, I can't wait to see where we are in 3 to 5 years. I think we are just moving at such an incredible pace. I think the opportunities we have is continuing to demonstrate to the public that we have a trust with, that we are sworn to protect, is making sure that they understand how we're using this technology, that we're using it for good, drones for good, and showing them that this is another tool that we're utilizing and taking advantage of the latest technology that's available to us to give them the best service possible. And a lot of that comes down to being transparent with what we're doing, being open to, you know, hold demonstrations in public and continue to show them that this is something that you can trust us with, just as you would anything else that we're utilizing.
Yeah. No, well said. And then, kind of thinking just, about we're here at the Texas Robotics Show, it's March, you know, and kind of interested in kind of the rest of the year for you of kind of, is there anything on your radar, any other events or things that you're thinking about attending or things that you're going to?
So next month, I believe it's Texas DPS is hosting at their tactical training facility, a NIST course for instructors, getting them spun up to be proctors for the NIST course. I'm a huge believer in NIST, and I think every public safety UAS program should be using that as part of their training curriculum. We're also looking at in Houston, I want to say it's in June, is going to be the APSCon. So APSA is holding their APSCon here in Houston. And so we're going to be trying to get some people out to that as well. And yeah, there's a couple other things. We just got to see if we've got funding in the budget for it.
But. And maybe get you back to TSI this year.
Yes, I would love to come back to TSI.
the date will be announced soon. I'm hoping it's in Texas. We'll see.
Awesome.
And I guess the final thing would be this kind of a plug to COIT and all the work that COIT Kessler is doing, but the IFC-IAF working group, you know, in your words, what is it and then kind of what's the initiative that it's taken?
Yeah, so the IAFF-IAFC Robotics Working Group is It's a collection of people from around the country that have been part of public safety UAS organizations like the FDNY. We've got LA. We've got groups out of Miami-Dade here in Austin, literally all across the country. And we even have partners in Canada that are engaging in the discussion. But we're working to collaborate with one another to develop a common picture for public safety UAS, not only from the programs that are just getting started, giving them a roadmap, a very clear and easy roadmap for how to develop your program and the right steps to take to do that, as well as, you know, training suggestions, curriculum for those kinds of things. We're just trying to come up with a standardization that people can follow and rely on that is something that we hope to be adopted on a North American level, at the very least. And what that will do for public safety UAS is we'll all be communicating using the same language. I know that if I get deployed to another part of Texas or another part of the country, that if we're all operating under that same standard, then I show up on scene and we're already talking the same language. You know, we're training just like I'm integrating seamlessly in the same way we would if it was just, you know, a regional partner versus somebody that's across the country.
I mean, it seems similar to like the NIM standard and then like a lot of the frameworks of how we were operating and a lot of lessons learned from 9/11, but really kind of just taking it and putting a contextual robotics drone spin on it.
100%. Yep.
Yeah, I love that.
Exactly.
And I guess final thing would be if you could leave us with a mic drop of sorts of it could be a favorite question, a question for the audience, a challenge for the audience, a favorite quote. You know, it doesn't even have to be necessarily drone or robotics related, but I'd love to hear what do we got from Jason?
My challenge, so I'm also a private pilot, and I, in this role, try my best to try and integrate as much as I can from the manned aviation side of things. I mean, they've got, you know, countless decades of experience that they have implemented as far as how they train and requirements. And I would encourage every public safety UAS program, and even just your average pilot who's learning UAS, to hold themselves to the same standard that you would as crewed aviation. We are pilots, in the eyes of the FAA, we are pilots flying aircraft in the national airspace. We're sharing that with crewed aviation, and I think we have a responsibility to treat that with reverence and to be as professional as we can when we are up there and doing what we're so lucky to do.
Well said, Jason. Well, it's a pleasure and honor to work alongside you, and I look forward to further collaboration in the future.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for tuning in to this mini-series created at the Texas Robotics Summit, hosted by Granite Defense. Make sure to put this amazing event on your calendar for 2025. For this podcast episode, what do you like? What do you think? Drop us a comment on social media and let us know your favorite quote. Thanks for all that you do, and have a great day ahead.